song. That was awesome. Miguel's going back to school here this week, and so, you know, we've been kind of using him up a little bit, singing just because we love his music, and I appreciate you sharing that with us while you're here. That's awesome. This song that he sang is actually, it brings up something that I want to talk to you about today, and that is that when God works on us, he works on us from the inside out. Do you know that? Like, the issues of our life are really, they happen inside, they happen in our minds, they happen in our hearts, but they're not so much happening externally. And I think a lot of people think, you know, if this person could just be nice, I could be such a good person. Or if I didn't have these problems externally to me, you know, life would be so much different. And the bottom line is at some point we have to take responsibility and realize that the work that God needs to do is not on everybody else, but it's actually on the inside out of us, right? It's like, it's happening right here. And so that's kind of where God's working. And you know, we see God moving in people's lives all the time, and we see people changing on the inside. And I can tell you, I mean, just as a little side note here, Hannah. Hannah's getting ready to leave. Just said that to shock you. Did it shock you? Okay, good. Hannah's getting ready to leave to go to Boston. And she's actually going to Foxborough, where the Patriots play. So, you know, hopefully you get to see a game at some point. But one of the things about Hannah is I watched her grow up here. I've been here for almost 8 years, and I think we went back and decided that you were like 14 when I got here or something like that. She was just a kid. And I remember seeing her grow up here in the church and all the wonderful things that have happened in her life. And I can tell you, I absolutely love this girl. She is just amazing. God has done a great work in her. And what I see happening in her, there's a maturity in her that I hadn't seen before. And she went away to school to go to Ignite, and God did a lot of work on the inside of you to make you who you are today. And I love who you are. I love your personality. I love everything about you. I think you're awesome. So is everybody sold on Hannah yet? Okay. So anyway, I love the person that you become. And I know that God's going to use you in a major way up in Boston, and so we're very happy for you. And it's a bummer you're heading north. You know, remember to be nice, okay? Because you know the Northerners, they're a little short with people sometimes. So, you know, remember the Southern hospitality, okay? And if you're a Northerner, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. But if you'd like to see her after the service, come, you know, talk to her, pray over her, whatever you want to do. But we want to continue to pour in your life, even when you're up in Boston. So it's awesome. Thank you. Today I want to go back to the theme verse that I shared with you last week, and the theme verse was out of Colossians chapter 1, and this is going to be the direction that we go for the entire year, and it's Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. So if you want to open your Bibles real quick, go ahead and run to it, and I want to read it to you today, and I'm going to be working between this scripture and also Romans chapter 12 today, so we're going to jump back and forth just a little bit. So Colossians chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse 9. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." I mean, isn't that what we all want in the end? Even today. "Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience," which we all need, by the way, "and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." As we read this here, there's a piece of it I want to pull out today. And we talked about last time that we're going to be talking about being transformed. And that's, you know, I told Miguel, I said, hey, pick a song about transformation, about, you know, renewing your life. And that's what he chose, From the Inside Out. And I think how appropriate. Just a perfect song for today. The passage I want to bring out to you right now is this part that says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives," right? So how many of you want to know what God's will is? Well, when we talk about God's will, typically you want to know God's will for your life, and so it kind of tends to be introspective. It kind of tends to be maybe a little bit selfish even, you know, like what's God up to with me? But do you know God has a bigger picture here? There's actually stuff happening here within this congregation, within the people here of the Highlands, within the world that God's doing. And there's his will being carried out everywhere. And so when we want to know God's will, it's not just this introspective thing, like, I wonder what he's doing with me, but it's, I wonder what God's up to, like, you know, globally, because I want to be a part of that. And so there's this bigger picture that I want you to get. So here's how it works. To know God's will, we actually have to get his wisdom, and we have to get his understanding that only the Spirit gives. So there's got to be this part of us that's able to hear the Spirit speak and tell us what's going on with God's will so that we can understand. But it happens through His wisdom and understanding. Like, we have to get to a point in life where we actually seek out what God wants us to know. We have to seek out His wisdom. Has anyone ever figured out that your wisdom didn't get you very far? Anybody? Like, I thought I knew a few things, but then I didn't. You know what I mean? I mean, life took some ugly turns for me because I was actually making my own way and doing things my way. And I had it figured out, and I can tell you, I didn't have it figured out. And the Spirit speaks to the hearts of people. We need to understand who are open to being led by Him. We've got to be in a place where we say we want to be led by the Spirit. Does anybody want to be led by the Spirit here in your life? What does it mean to be open to being led by the Spirit? You know, we use these terms. These are all like Christian-y terms. I just want to be led by the Spirit. Like, what does that mean to you? Because it actually, there's something very foundational to that we've got to understand. You see, the thing is, a heart that is led by the Holy Spirit is one that's no longer led by pride. Do you know that? Like, for everyone out there who thinks they know something and they figured something out, it's like, you know, that is not a Spirit-led life. Because what you know now, if you think you've got it figured out, what you know now is all you'll ever know because you're not open to what the Spirit's trying to speak to you. You know, it's so interesting because, like, as people come to Christ and they get a little bit of time and a little bit of the Bible under their belt, they get to a point where they finally think, you know what, I know a few things. And I can remember this guy that I worked with when I worked at Space Camp. He was one of my directors, and he became a Christian. He'd been Christian for like 2 months or so, and he went from like not knowing anything about Jesus to being like a theologian in like 2 months. The guy just knew everything, you know what I mean? So I can remember sitting down with him, and like, I grew up in church, so I said, I want to share a few things with you. And he's like, I already know that. I already read that last week. And so I'm like, no, let me tell you something about what, you know, how Jesus works and like who He is. And so I'm starting to tell him a few things, and he's like, yeah, I know that. And I'm like, man, you are so unteachable, you know? And I think there's something in us sometimes that where God does something wonderful, and you know, God's done something wonderful in all of your lives, right? I mean, as you move with Him, He does things, and like things you had trouble with your whole life, all of a sudden you overcome them. And it's so easy for us. It's so easy for us to get to a place in life where we like hang our hat on that and say, I got it figured out, guys. Everything is straightened out now. I'm good. You know what I mean? And the thing is, we're not good. We're never good. The thing is, God's working things out in us, and this process of making us better like goes on for a lifetime. And there's always this refining that's happening in us. And so we never want to get to this place where we think, you know what, I got it figured out. I don't need any more help. I've already read that. I know what I'm doing. Because we get to a place where we're no longer teachable and God's not renewing us and taking us to this new place that He wants us to go. We know that the heart that is led by the Holy Spirit is no longer led by feelings. Do you know that? I mean, there are a lot of people out there who actually like let their feelings guide them into major life decisions. And we know that, see, the Spirit wants to lead you in those places, but your feelings will take you places you don't want to go. I don't know if your feelings have ever led you to say things that are stupid and do things that don't make sense. Have you ever done that before? Anything? Okay, is it just me? I don't know, you know. But your feelings will take you places you don't want to go. But it feels right in the moment. You know, a heart that's led by the Spirit is one that's no longer led by tradition. There are people who are so steeped in tradition, even within Christian circles, I should say especially within Christian circles, right? That we're so stuck in tradition that God has to do it this way. You know what? The Holy Spirit moves, but He's only going to move like this. You know, and He's got to kind of work with me here. You know what I mean? It's like here's the thing. You know, we're going to have service today, but it's going to be this way. We got to have a song, and then we got to have a reading, and then we got to do this. And we're going to receive an offering, and when we do the offering, we need to sing a song at the end of it because otherwise God's not going to receive it. You know what I mean? It's like it's got to be done a certain way. And if you don't do it that way, it's just not working for me. And it's like sometimes tradition gets in the way. It's like, you know what? The Spirit wants to do something fresh and new. Do you know that? Okay, you don't sound like you know that. Do you know that the Spirit wants to do something fresh and new in your life and in the church today? You know what? It just might be that you don't have to sing the song when you receive the offering because when you gave it from a generous heart and God received it right there in the moment. Right? Does that mean we'll never sing after an offering? No, that doesn't mean that. I might do it one day. Well, not me. I don't sing, but you know what I mean, right? We might do it, but the thing about it is that the tradition is not the thing that the Spirit speaks through. The Spirit's wanting to speak something fresh and new today, and there's got to be something within us that's willing to lay down all this stuff and then say, you know what, Lord, I lay it all down at Your feet, and if You choose to do it that way, great, and if You don't, I'm cool with that, right? You know, a heart that's led by the Holy Spirit is one that's no longer bullheaded. Like, I don't know how else to say that, you know what I mean? There are some bullheaded people out there. You know that? Like, it's going to be this way, and I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'll do this, but you'll never see me standing up there speaking. I'll never do that for the Lord, but I'll do this over here. I'm a background person, right? I mean, it's like I hear people say all kinds of stuff. I'll serve in the back. I'll wash the dishes. I'll do this, but I'm never doing that. Really? Who's leading your life, you or God? Because you know what? It just might be that God has something planned for you that's a little bit bigger than the sink back there. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know? Might be. But you know, you'll never know if you don't ever just open yourself up and say, you know what, God, look, I know I'm a background person, but you know, I'm really willing to do anything you tell me to do.
Get out of the boat.
That's right, get out of the boat, yeah. Hey, and we got a series about that too on Thursday nights. Hey, thank you, Mark. Pay you later. Anyway, so the thing is that like there's a bullheadedness in us sometimes that needs to go away. I mean, there are people who have their minds already made up about how things are and how God moves. God only moves this way, and His Holy Spirit only speaks this way. And if somebody speaks in tongues, well, that's not right, even though it's in the Bible, right? I mean, it's like, you know, at some point, it's like we have to lay down all the things that we think we've seen. You know, like the Holy Spirit only moves when I shake and cry. You know what I mean? And if I'm not shaking and crying, the Holy Spirit's not moving. And I'm telling you what, that stuff's crazy. Like, can we let go of the religious craziness? I mean, at some point, we just have to stop and say, you know what? God is doing something new, and He may move differently today than He did yesterday. And you know what? It's okay. He's God. Amen. Right? At some point, you just got to let God be God, let the Holy Spirit move however He wants to move. But there's got to be this openness to the Spirit, openness to being led to the Spirit, that actually will lead you to the place that God wants you to go, because I can guarantee you, tradition won't get you there. Take a look at the traditional churches this morning, and you'll see what I mean. So we lay these things down. And it can be difficult because most people are in denial about who's really leading their lives. People will tell me, you know what, God is good. He's taking me here. He's doing this and He's doing that, but I'm not doing this. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second. Wait, God is leading you here and you're doing this and you're not going to do this? I'm a little confused. I'm a little confused because in one moment you're saying, you know, God's doing great things in your life and you're really open to the movement of the Spirit. And then the next thing you're telling the Spirit what He can't do. You can't have it both ways. There's got to be a point in your life where you say, you know what? I've got to come to grips with the fact that there's some stuff in me sometimes that gets in the way of the Spirit, and sometimes things need to change inside my heart. Anybody can amen that if you want to. It's totally up to you. You know what I mean? Unless I was speaking to you, you're like, man, you're hitting me where I live, you know? Here's the thing. I just want to get real with you today like I haven't already gotten real, right? But let me just get more real, okay? I have met some of the most bullheaded Christians who are supposedly exactly where God's in the middle of God's will, but they won't listen to the Spirit even if He spoke to them through a bullhorn. They tell you, oh, I'm exactly where God wants me to be, and they are the most dogmatic, stuck in their tracks people that you'll ever meet. Bullheaded as can be. And I think to myself, you know what? You're missing out on what God has for you. I don't say that in some judgmental kind of way, because believe me, I was bullheaded at one point in my life, and I probably still am, and I don't even know it, but we'll work through it, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. I can remember going into a Pentecostal church. I came out of a Methodist church, and I felt like you had to do things in order. It just had to be, and you only sang hymns, and you just don't do the things they do in those crazy Pentecostal churches, right? And so I remember going to church one time, and we came into the church, and we sat down, and it was Cindy's church, so it's her fault. She's not even here this morning. But anyway, it was a four-square church, so like, you know, whatever conclusion you want to draw from that. But anyway, we were sitting there, and then they got up, and they started dancing and singing and all this craziness, and I started laughing at them. I'm just being honest, I laughed at them. I said, this is nuts. Like, why are people doing this? This is so irreverent. I mean, why would somebody do such a thing? And they're lifting their hands. What are they thinking? They're clapping. I walked out of the church that day. I got about two songs into it, and I got tired of laughing, and I thought, this is dumb. And I walked out of there, and I said, I wish they could just get it like the Methodists have it. You know what I mean? I wish they could just understand, you know? Because, you see, the Methodist way, actually, I liked it. You know, there was something about it I liked. I thought it was reverent. It was an outpouring of where I was in my life, and my heart was there, you know. But I came back to the church. I mean, eventually, because Cindy was there, and I wanted to be with her, you know what I mean? So I went back to church. It's amazing what girls can bring you to do. But so I go back to the church, and I began to look around a little bit, and I began to kind of see what was happening. And I began to see that this thing here may be different than I've ever done before, but these people are real. Like, they actually mean it. And then I sat back and God began to speak to my heart. And He spoke some things to my heart about my pride and my arrogance to think that I know how He moves. He said, you know, I moved in the Methodist church, but I'm also moving in this one too. But I'm moving a little differently. Is it okay?
Amen.
I'm like, yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean? It's like, who am I to tell God how we're going to do things this morning? And so I sat there in the church, and over the course of time, He broke me down Sunday after Sunday until He cracked enough of my pride and my arrogance until He got to speak to my heart. And He got me into a place. So when I talk about bullheaded Christians, I know all about bullheaded Christians. I was one for a long time. You know, I've seen prideful Christians who are so impressed with their accomplishments that they become deaf to the voice of the Spirit. I've talked to pastors who say, oh, I've done this and I've done that and I did this and I spent this money and I built this building and I did that and I did that. And I'm like, I hope God was in that. Yeah, I really do. Because you see, if God wasn't in it, you labored in vain. All that stuff was just gone. You see, it wasn't really about you. You know, I've met Christians who are so controlled by their feelings that they ignore the Spirit because they might have to get out of their comfort zone a little bit, and so they ignore them thinking, I don't even want to hear that. And you know, there are also Christians who are so bound up in tradition that they do not accept the movement of the Spirit unless he conforms to their expectations. There's a lot of craziness going on. And it's called, like, religion, right? It's religiosity. It's just ridiculousness. Can I call it that? There's a lot of stuff that's going on that's just not right, and God looks at it and says, that's so counterproductive. That's so not my Spirit. You don't even hear me anymore. You're so stuck in your own head. And so I don't bring that as, like, some big, like, scolding against the church today. It's just that we need to wake up a little bit and remember that God's speaking. He continues to speak. He's never stopped speaking, you know? He continues to speak to his church today, but there's got to be this openness within us that lets go of our pride and our arrogance and our feelings and our tradition and our bullheadedness and gets rid of all that stuff so that we can finally have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking, because the Spirit continues to speak daily. We've got to be in a place where we're hearing it. And at some point, we need to actually clear all these mental obstacles out of the way that I'm talking about in our minds and our hearts so that we can be open to the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit's speaking to you right now. Because you see, you're never going to know God's will until you're listening to his wisdom and understanding. And you can't hear it if you think you know everything. It's just the way it is. Right? There's so many times in my life I thought I knew something and I never was able to hear the Spirit because all I did was hear myself speak about how much I knew. And like, I'm not the most arrogant guy in the world. I just think I had some arrogance in my life at the time. So I'm not trying to sell myself out and say I was totally worthless back then. I was very human back then, you know? Just as we're all human here today. We all have moments of arrogance where we think we know something. We have this figured out or that figured out. And the bottom line is that we're all human. We're all failed. And we all need the Lord more than anything. If we're going to have the wisdom, we need to understand his will. So we lay these things down. And it can be difficult, but we lay these things down before the Lord. This is how we begin to understand the will of God. When you lay those things down and you finally realize, you know what, I don't have it figured out. We lay these things down before the Lord and we begin to look at life situations and we begin to look at troubles and we begin to look at our lives and we begin to see God's will in it all because we're actually hearing the Spirit speak and the Spirit's giving us wisdom. Doesn't that sound like a good plan? Romans 12, if you want to turn your Bibles for just a second, I want to show you another thing here. And I hope you, as you're looking for this, I hope you hear my heart in all this today. I know it sounds like I'm kind of throwing it out there and being a little tough with it, but I want you to, you know me, for you guys to know me, you know I'm not like that. But here's the thing, I throw it out there today because I want to wake you up a little bit, okay? Because there was a time in my life I needed someone to shake me just a little bit and say, you know what, Steve, it's just not about you. If you can just listen to me for just a moment, I have something I want to speak into your life, and it's not what you think. It's not what you think I've always done. I actually want to do something new in you. So Romans 12, beginning in verse 2, and many of you know this passage, but I want to break a little piece of it down for you today. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The pattern of this world, when it talks about not conforming to the pattern of the world anymore, it's based on the thought processes I just mentioned. A heart that's led by pride, that's a pattern of the world. Do you know that? Like you know something, you're somebody important, everybody's trying to find their place in the world. I can tell you that's conforming to a world mindset because in the world that we live in as Christians, the only one who's anywhere up on the scale is Christ himself. So we see this heart that's led by pride. We see that the world, the way the world thinks is like it's a heart that's led by feelings. It's a heart that's led by tradition and by that bullheadedness we talked about. It's also about a mind that's already been made up. That's what the world looks like, and that's what many times people conform to. But the only way to stop conforming to this mindset is to commit to transformation by renewal. Okay, this is what the passage talks about right here. It talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, oftentimes Christians talk about transformation, and like I don't even know if we know what we're talking about exactly. But we say, I want to be transformed. Well, I can tell you, if you've ever watched the cartoon or whatever, Transformers, does anybody remember that back in the day? Anybody? I guess they still play it. Anyway, the Transformers actually, like, they take one figure and then they reconfigure the same parts, and then it becomes a car or something, and then it becomes a person, and it becomes something else. And so, like, all the pieces are constantly moving and transforming. But you see, God's transformation is way different than this. God's transformation is that he takes the parts that are on you as you are today, he renews them and makes them better, he actually takes them back to their original form, then he converts you and uses you for his glory and for his use. That's way different than what the world does. The world says, you know what, whatever you have, you just need to reconfigure it and use it for God, or use it for whatever, not for God, but they use it for whatever. But what God says, I want to make you better. I want to take every part of you that's broken, I want to take every part of you that's corrupt, and I want to actually clean it up and turn it around and renew it, and then I'm going to reconfigure you to be used by me. It's a very different picture of transformation. So when we talk about transformation, that's what we're talking about. We're actually talking about renewal. Do you know that? And you know, not a lot of Christians are saying, you know what, God, I just want to be renewed. I need this part of me renewed right here. We say, transform me, but if our understanding of transformation is just like reconfigure me and just move it around and then use it however you want to use it, I don't want to be changed on the surface. I want God to renew the piece and then reconfigure it for his use. Does that make sense? So there's this renewal process that we need to talk about, and the renewal we're talking about is a renewal of our minds and our hearts. But here's why people don't talk much about renewal. Because we have to actually admit that our mind needs an overhaul. Anybody need an overhaul job on your mind just a little bit? Okay, there's a time that we actually like need to admit, if we're going to say that we need to be renewed, what we're actually saying is, you know, the original form that God gave us, which is back with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we find that things were perfect then. It's like the model was perfect. It was new. But it got corrupted over time. Do you know that? And so things, our thought processes, the way we do things, the way we understand things gets corrupted. And so we're actually having to say to God, look, I know what you intended for me to be, but I want you to know where I'm at right now. And so there has to be this admitting that, you know what, my mind's a little messed up. The way I think is sometimes messed up. And so people don't talk renewal, they talk transformation, because when you talk renewal, you actually have to take responsibility for the fact that things are a little messed up within you. And we don't like to do that. As a matter of fact, there's this whole thing within the Christian world that you have to act like you're not messed up. You know what I mean? You're just blessed and everything's perfect, everything's going to be great, and I want you to know something. That's not reality. That's not renewal. That's not transformation. That's playing games, right? Because everybody's messed up here. I don't care who you are. We're all messed up somehow, right? Everybody here. We all have things that need to be renewed. There's always things inside of us that can be renewed and reconfigured and transformed for God's use. So we can begin to see that the renewal process actually starts with humility, right? At some point, you got to get on your knees before the Lord and say, you know what, I'm broken and I need you to fix me. But man, that's a hard place, isn't it? Because you have to admit that like everything that people have been seeing on the surface maybe isn't the reality of your life, right? Maybe you finally have to even admit in front of other people who love you and care for you that, you know what, I've got a problem here. I've got this issue in my life. I've got this wrong way of thinking. And that's not always fun, because you understand that when you lay things out before the Lord and you say, Lord, I need you to fix this part of me that's broken, that fixing and that refining process that God puts you through isn't always comfortable. But it's always productive, and it always takes you to a good place. You see, this humility I'm talking about is so important in the process. It's the starting place for it all to happen. The humble spirit realizes that our mindset's not always right. Do you know that? Do you know that you don't always think straight? Because you see, you really need to know that about yourself if you're going to want God to renew you. Because if you think you got everything figured out, you're in your thinking process, then you're going to believe you never need the Lord. You're never going to go to him and say, hey, change the way I think about this, because you think, hey, what I'm thinking is just right on. And there have been times in my life where my thinking was so wrong and I thought it was so right. And I stayed in that place for a while until I got to a place where I realized, you know what? I'm just as messed up as everybody else is in their thinking at times. I'm not always messed up, just for the record. Because if I was, I probably shouldn't be standing here talking to you. You know what I mean? But there have been points in my life where my thinking wasn't right. A humble spirit realizes that our perspective is sometimes off. Does anybody know you might have a wrong perspective sometime? That you may not perceive the world as it really is? You know, it's interesting, like within the church world, it's like things happen here sometimes that are like people's perspective gets off and it causes them to somehow derail and like wander off. I mean, it can be something as simple as this. They come into church and you know, somebody comes up to them and says, oh, you know, Micah, you look so great. You look like you lost some weight. I mean, it's looking really good. And he's like, well, you calling me fat? Have I been fat every other day before I came in here? It's like, you know, he begins to hear things wrong. And so his perspective is, you know what? I don't want to go to that church because they call people fat at that church. It's like, I don't... Well, you know, they're always down on me. It's like, you know, I've been so messed up and nobody ever told me. And it's like the mind starts running. And I can tell you there are times when people will do that, even in leadership here, and they'll get to a place where they think, you know what, I just don't feel like I'm a part of the family. I don't think people really care about me. I don't really think, you know, anything good is happening there. I don't know. I don't belong there. I just need to get out. Nobody wants me. And next thing you know, they're like wandering out the door, and it's all because of a perspective issue. And here's the issue. If you think your perspective is right, you're going to wander out the door, but you're not going to wander just out that door. You're going to wander out lots of doors in life. You know that? There's got to be a point where you realize, you know what? I'm not always right. You know what I mean? I don't always have a right perspective. Sometimes I make stuff up. You know what I mean? Has anybody ever made up a story about how things are and they aren't?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad. One honest guy right here, okay? I mean, I'll tell you what. I've done it. I don't even know how many times. You make up a story about the way things are, and you know what? You have to remember, like in the back of your mind, you know what? Sometimes my story's not right, okay? Can we say that? All right. So a humble spirit realizes that your story's not always right and that we don't always have the answers. Is it important to know that you don't always have the answers to everything? Okay. You know what happens when you think you have all the answers? You never look to God for an answer ever, you know, because you got it all figured out. And we also have to know that a humble spirit always realizes that we tend to filter life through our hurts and pain. Do you know that? Because here's the thing. It's like in life, a lot of people have been hurt in this place. There are a lot of people who've been rejected and dealt with abuse and all kinds of issues in their lives. And they come in this place and somebody says something to them. It's just kind of like no big deal, right? But somebody says something to them and it just stirs that thing up inside of them and they feel rejected. And they're like, you know what? I hate the rejection church. I'm not going back to the rejection church again, right? That's what they say in their mind. It's like their internal dialogue, you know? And so they tell themselves, you know, that's just one more time I got rejected. And so then they do finally come into church and they come in here and they sit down like this, you know, and they just kind of keep to themselves. And they're like, you know what? Not one person said hello to me today, you know? And so then they experience rejection one more time because they were so closed off, nobody wanted to. They're like, I don't want to go over there, you know what I mean? And so it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy of their life that they're constantly feeling rejected. So it's like we've got to remember in our lives that we're always filtering life through our hurts. And I'd like to tell you I don't do that, but once in a while, because of things that have happened in my life and hurts that have happened when somebody says a certain thing to me, like whatever that is, I don't know, but I know it when they say it. You know what I mean? But when they say a certain thing to me and it stirs that up, it just messes me up inside. And I go to this place where I begin to make an assumption or a thought about that person when that's not even true. You know, at some point we have to realize our minds don't process the world always right. We don't always have a right perspective. We don't always make up the right stories. And we don't always get to a place where we're not filtering our life through our hurts because those things happen. And you know what that's called? That's called like the human experience. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're messed up. It doesn't mean you're no good. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be in church. It just means you need to know yourself a little bit better. Because when we know ourselves better, and we, by the way, all fall in these categories, okay? When we know ourselves better, we find ourselves not disconnecting from the world around us. We find ourselves actually connecting to God the way we're supposed to. And you know, when I look at this list of things that I need to know about myself, I know that I can do all these things. I know that I have a wrong perspective at times, and I know I have all these things. But a humble heart will be honest about that stuff and actually set the stage for a renewing of the mind. Because when I remember that I'm really broken inside and that I don't always hear things right and that I'm not always correct in the way I perceive things, it keeps me in this place where I go to God and say, okay, God, this is what it looks like, but I need you to tell me the truth. And when I do that, I'm actually calling upon God for his wisdom and his understanding in the situation. And when I do that, it says in the scripture that when I call upon God for his wisdom and understanding, then I begin to understand what his will is. And then as I understand what his will is, I begin to walk out my life in a way that's pleasing to him, and I begin to navigate life better. Does that make sense? But it happens through a renewing of the mind, a renewal that goes to transformation, that begins to help me understand God's will, that takes me to a place where I'm actually living a life that God looks at and says, that's pleasing to me. And so that's exactly where we want to be. Here's one thing you need to remember is that renewal without humility is impossible. Do you know that? If you think you're going to have your mind renewed and you think you're going to actually be transformed in Christ and you can't keep a humble spirit, you'll never get there. I don't mean to sound negative and rude. That's just the truth, right? It's just you're never going to get there without being humble in your heart. It's just never going to happen. So humility is step number one. But I want you to know something about this. It's not just a step in the process. It's a lifestyle. We live here. We live in humility every day. We have to come to grips with the fact that we're broken, that we need the Lord. You've got to stay in that place, because when you stay in that place, you're always in this other place where you're able to hear God, so that when the Spirit speaks, you're like, I need that. So that when you come to church and you hear the Word of God read, you're listening to it and not saying, I already heard that. I already read Romans 12, too. I already know all about do not conform to the pattern of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Yeah, I already know that. You'll not have that attitude. You'll come in here saying, I love that scripture, and I hope God speaks something fresh and new out of it to me today. Because I'm in a place where I understand my brokenness and I understand my need for the truth. Renewing the mind is a lifelong process. But I want you to keep in mind, when humility fades away, and sometimes it does during the process, that renewal stops during that time too. And I want to continue that process in my life, and I know you do too. You want to be transformed, but it's only going to happen by renewal. And if we don't have a humble heart as we're going through life, we're not going to see the renewal we want to see, therefore not the transformation. And then you'll always be standing back going, I just wish I understood God's will. I wish I understood where God was in this. Well, you can understand, but it happens by renewal, and you have to get back on your knees and say, Lord, give me a humble heart so I can realize my need for you. Do we see how it works? Because you see, Paul actually spoke very systematically and logically about this. He said, if you do these things, then this will happen. You'll understand God's will. Then you'll live a life that's pleasing. And then you're going to have endurance and patience. And you're going to have all these other things you need. And people are saying, like in square one, I wish I could just endure life, and I wish I could have a little patience with some people. And I'm saying, let's start back at square one, which is a humble heart that then takes you to this place and takes you to this place and works you through to the place where you get endurance and some patience for some people. So many people want the end result. They're like, I just want, step 10, but I don't want to do anything about starting step 1. And I can tell you, today, we set the stage for our heart condition, and that is a heart condition that is humble. Because when your heart is humble, everything begins to fall in place. So I could talk to you all day about how we renew the mind, and, you need to stop thinking these things and start thinking these things, and here's where we need to go, and I can give you all the instructions. But if your heart is not humble, the instructions go nowhere. They just fall flat on the floor. There's a point where we have to say, look, Lord, make my heart right. Take me to this place of humility so that when you speak the instruction into my life, I'm ready to receive it and I can actually put it to use. Because over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about all the rest of the story when it comes to renewal. We're going to talk about what renewal looks like and what God really renews in us and how we go about those things. But I really want to start here, because if we can't have our hearts right, I don't want to waste my time and stand here before you giving you all the nuts and bolts of things that you have no context for. Does that make sense? So then renewal begins. And when renewal begins, transformation is underway. And when transformation happens, then you will be able to, going back to the passage, you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then you will know God's will. And it says you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That's the goal, right? But that goal can only happen with a humble heart. That's it. There's no other way to get there. So are you okay with coming to grips with your humanity and the fact that, you don't have it all figured out? Anybody okay with the fact that your mind's not always working the way it ought to? Are you okay with the fact that your perception's not always reality? That maybe you're going to need to work on a few things? That sometimes we have a wrong attitude? Are you okay with starting there? Because if you start there, you'll always be in this place that says, not like I'm worthless and I'm pointless in this world, but you'll start in this place where you say to the Lord, Lord, I know my need for you, and I know that this need that I have is never going to go away. And I need to always remain in this place where I'm ready to soak in what you have for me. And if that's your heart's desire, then I want you to join me in it as we pray today. And if you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. What I'd like to do today is, if you can just get in a position of humility before the Lord, maybe getting on your knees today, or maybe bowing your head, or whatever the case is, you can even come down to the altar if you'd like to. But there's got to be something within us today that says we start this series, we start this conversation together about renewing our minds by starting with saying, Lord, I want to be humble before you, and I want to just pour myself out before you and just acknowledge my need for you. If that's where you're at today, I just want you to humble yourself before the Lord physically right now. And say, Lord, here I am. And just take a moment to talk to the Lord about this place you want to be in, that you want to have this humble heart toward him, and you want him to give you the wisdom and the understanding and the strength to do it every day. Praise you, Jesus. Father, you see the hearts of your people today. Lord, we just acknowledge that we don't have it all figured out and that our perspective's not always right and that we sometimes need a change of mindset and our attitude needs to get better. Lord, we just admit the fact that we're failed. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember this every day, not as some self-deprecating thing where we're down on ourselves, Lord, but we're at this place where we just acknowledge where we are in comparison to you. Lord, I pray that you help us to find this place and to stay in this place of humility before you so that you can pour out your wisdom and understanding into our lives. Lord, more than anything, we need your wisdom. We don't need the wisdom of man. We don't need the things that we think we know. We don't need our traditions, and we don't need all these bullheaded mindsets that we've had for so long. Lord, we lay it all down before you today, and we say, Lord, help us to keep a humble heart before you so that there's a heart that's good soil before you that you can pour your wisdom and understanding into. And Lord, we know that as we gather your wisdom and your understanding that we'll begin to understand your will for our lives, but not just our lives, Lord, but what your will is for this entire earth, for the things that you're carrying out globally. Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing, but we need to understand your will, and we know it doesn't start anywhere but with humility before you. Lord, we know also that as you begin to reveal your will through your wisdom and your understanding, that we'll begin to live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, it's very much where we want to be. Lord, you know our heart's desire, but you also know our failed nature. Lord, I thank you for accepting us and loving us where we are, even in spite of our mistakes and failures. Lord, help us to always be in touch with how great you are and how powerful and amazing you are, but at the same time, to be in touch with the fact that we're nothing like that. That, Lord, we have needs, and you are the only one to fill our need. So, Lord, help us to seek with all of our heart everything you have for us. Help, give us ears to hear your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us eyes to see what you're doing. And, Lord, I just pray that you continue to pour out within the body of Christ today more and more through your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit so that we can hear and move when you tell us to move, Lord. Lord, we love you and thank you and just praise you for what you're doing in us. Keep us humble before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we continue with our eyes closed and our heads bowed? There may be some of you today that say, you know what? I look at my life and I see a lot of hurt and I see a lot of pain and I see pride and I see arrogance and I see all kinds of things in my life that are not good. And I took myself there. You may look back over and you say, you know, the direction I took in my life is not the direction that I want to go. That my way didn't work. And I can tell you, every person in this room that accepted Jesus finally got tired of doing things their way. They got to a place where they said, this isn't working anymore. And they laid their life down before Christ, and they finally said, Lord, do it your way. Have your will in my life. And when they poured their life out, they began to see the Spirit move for the first time, and it just blew them away. And it changed them, and it took them to this place of restoration that they've needed for their whole life. If you're in this place today where you say, you know, I've never made that decision, but I'm ready to make that decision in my life, and I want to see what God can do, and I want to be able to hear His Spirit for the first time and begin to move in that, and I just really want God to direct my life going forward so that I can live out the life that He called me to live. If that's where you're at today, and you say, I'm ready to make a decision to accept Christ into my life, I just want you to lift your hand, if you would, where you're at, and I want to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else here today? Thank you. Thank you. Any others today? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Back in the back. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. I want to lead you in this prayer today. And I want you to understand something about this prayer. It's not some magical prayer that you say that will somehow ultimately connect you with Christ. It is a statement and understanding what your heart is actually stating to the Lord today. So as I lead you through this statement, what you're doing is making a statement to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am. I accept your Son. And I want to see what you can do with my life from this point forward, and I want you to watch God move. So if you would, just pray this prayer with me today. Father God, I come before you. I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But today I lay my life down at your feet, and I ask that through your Holy Spirit you begin to direct my life. Father, I pray that you change me from the inside out. Make me the person you want me to be. Father, I submit my life to you today. And I ask that you make something beautiful out of it. Lord, give me ears to hear your Spirit. as I begin this walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what he's done in this place today? Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to know that in the weeks to come, we're going to be having part 2, 3, and 4 of this series. The series of renewing your mind and understanding how God transforms us that way. There may be people that you know in your life that really need to hear this message but aren't here today. This message is going to be online on our website, and they can listen through their iPhone, iPad, whatever the case is. They can listen online to hear the file. And I really would recommend that you bring your friends in here for them to hear it, because these kinds of things, I could have used these messages a long time ago because I didn't really understand. I wanted my life transformed, but I didn't know how God did that. And I think that understanding this is just huge for you in terms of setting the right path for your life. So invite your friends in and have them hear it, however you want to do it. But we really want the message to get out, because this is going to begin the walk for a lot of people in this community if they're willing to hear it. So anyway, thank you for being here. I do encourage you to come to the entire series. And by the way, the entire year actually fits together, because we're going over Colossians chapter 1. And every message is one more step along the way to fully understand the passage, because Paul prayed these things over people. He prayed this very all-encompassing prayer over the people that started from the very beginning point all the way to the very end of maturity within their life, and it covers a lot of ground. So over the course of a year, you're going to have 52 sermons that take you along that path to get you from point A to point B, or in this case point Z, because Paul made a big jump. And we're going to walk you through all this to get you to where you want to be, because I can tell you that if you can say that within the year 2015 that God took you to a place of spiritual maturity that you had not ever experienced in your so many years before walking with the Lord, then something great happened this year. And when we get to a place of spiritual maturity, we find ourselves not being driven through life by feelings or issues or whatever the case. We begin to see our lives walking with the Spirit and going where God would have us go. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but it means that everything is going to be God-driven, and you're going to go through it. When you come out the other side, you're going to be much better than when you went in. And isn't that what life's all about? Is that we continue to get better as we go on, we get more mature, and we walk out a more powerful existence in Christ. Father, we thank you for all you've done in this place. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you continue to speak truth to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you help this message of humility settle within us so that we can have our hearts prepared to hear the rest of the story. Lord, we know there's more to what you're saying right now through this passage, and we want to walk through it completely, but we want our hearts to be right so that we can absorb it properly. So, Lord, we thank you for the groundwork that you've laid today, and we pray that as we go forward this week, Lord, let that be the theme of the week, is how can we continue to be humble before the Lord every day so that we hear his Spirit. Lord, we just thank you and just praise you for continuing to speak through your Spirit into your people and into your church. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that you give us opportunities to share the hope that you gave us, Lord. We just love you and praise you and thank you for all you do. We give you this day, give you this week, and every day of our life to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week.